What is up, my lovely humans? What time is it? Catch up time. It's freaking Monday. Did you like that High School Musical reference? I knew you would. I hope you all had a fabulous week and weekend. I know I did. I finally got my roots done because they were looking real nasty. In case you're wondering, I'm a platinum blonde, so kind of makes sense that I got my roots done. Let me tell you, I feel like a brand new woman. You know, this little drop of happiness is actually the inspiration for this episode because I'm missing my New York family and community a little extra this week. Recently, I've been feeling really down about being stuck back home and about the uncertainty of when I'll be able to have in-person training again. So, really, I've just been missing the artist community, their radiating positivity, and the constant drive that I just get from being around them. Gosh, I just really miss that connection and escape from stress. This week has probably been one of the hardest weeks mentally that I've had since the initial shock of quarantine. So, with that sort of explained, I decided to dive a little deeper into what self-care means to me and how I manage my self-care routine when I, you know, start to lose motivation and momentum with my career or lose the drive to take care of my body and how I deal with rejection and disappointment. I swear, it isn't as sad as it sounds. I honestly have good ideas sometimes, and you might actually find this a little useful. And with that, let's just get on to this episode, shall we? Holy crap, is this really happening right now? Oh my god. God, this is gonna be a mess.
In 3, 2, 1.
Don't you just love that intro? I literally dance to it every time I hear it. So, let's talk self-care. In case you were wondering, here's the definition. Self-care is the general term that describes everything you do deliberately for your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Maintaining self-care is so important so that you can radiate good feelings not only for yourself, but for others. It's sort of like killing two birds with one stone, basically. Let me play Mythbuster for you just real quick. Here's a myth. I will be seen as selfish if I take care of myself when I need to. Here's the fact. Self-care is actually far from being selfish. You know, a professor of mine actually tells us that you can't pour from an empty cup. So why is it selfish to replenish your cup first? So you can help someone later? It doesn't really make sense because if you keep giving and giving, you'll have nothing more to give. You'll literally run out. Myth. Well, this worked for my friend, but it didn't work for me. So, it probably just doesn't work. Fact. Not everything works for everyone. I mean, come on. Don't be so closed-minded. It took me the better part of a year to solidify my self-care routine, and trust me when I say this, I hit some of the largest bumps here and there when I was trying to work out the kinks. It's one of those things that it's like a trial and error, and you just have to figure out what makes you tick, what makes you relax, what makes you sort of like rejuvenate your own brain so that you can get back to work even stronger than you were before. But speaking of trying to work out the kinks, let me just tell you, one of the biggest pains in the ass I've ever had to create for myself, a schedule. And one that I had to make myself follow. Before quarantine started, I had a horrible routine. The only thing I had to do was wake up and get my ass to class on time. My schedule was literally made for me. I mean, thanks, AMDA, but like still, I wasn't able to make my own like at a regular liberal arts college, like, you know, 7 a.m. on registration day, you know, the devil's day, basically. But thanks to AMDA, I didn't have to do that. I just had to follow what they gave me. And so if I had an 8 a.m., I had an 8 a.m. that day. If I was in class till 6:30, I was in class till 6:30. Like, I didn't make the schedule, so I just followed what they gave me. Then after class, I made myself rehearse and work out, and then I had almost no time for actual written homework because I'd spent so much of my day and night doing nothing productive. And that's why I literally never got anything done. And I feel like that's why I was probably so stressed out all the time. And then I wouldn't sleep. I've always considered myself super organized. Like, no, seriously, I color code and plan everything. If I have a coffee break in my day, 9 times out of 10, it's color coded and in my planner. It wasn't until quarantine that shit really started to hit the fan. And I was completely blindsided with my own stupidity of not having a healthy schedule. At the beginning of quarantine, I was sleeping until about 3 or 4 in the evening and staying up until 4 or 5 in the morning. That's literally the sleeping schedule of a fucking owl. Do I look like an owl? No. Do I sound like an owl? No. So I must not be a goddamn owl. That was really violent. I'm sorry. But it's to get my point across. I got a rude awakening when my online classes started to catch up with me, and I had assignments coming out of my ass, not to mention that I wasn't even fucking trying. I was literally just throwing shit together because I was so unhappy, and I was forced out of my favorite place in the whole world. I love New York City. I've wanted to live there since I was 3 years old. Okay, maybe not 3, because you don't really know where you want to live when you're 3, but from the time that I was able to, like, conjure a sentence, that's where I wanted to live, and I knew that's where I wanted to live. And so I was ripped out of my favorite place in the whole world, dropped back at home, a place that I've hated to be for a very long time. So I let myself fall behind. I definitely waited until the last minute to do everything. Yeah, I know. I was that person, and I always hated that person. I also hadn't used my bullet journal in forever. It took almost 4 weeks. 4 weeks into quarantine to realize that I was either gonna fail or I could kick my ass in gear and get some shit done. I mean, besides, you don't get to be in this career unless you want to work hard. It's basically in the fine print of being an actor. If you don't have the drive and the want to work hard and get where you want, it's not gonna work. So here's how I sort of got my shit together. I talked to multiple friends who were in the same boat I was. I called Taylor, you know, the wonderful human who graced us with her presence in the last episode. She's great. I freaking love her. And in case you missed it, we were both sort of talking about this, but actually it was our friend Gabby, who is basically the master of all things checklist related. She had sent a picture of hers to Taylor, which, with rehearsals and due dates, all color coded, and I fell in love with it. I thought it was such a great idea. She really pulled herself together and buckled down, and I was so impressed by it. And I was like, damn, if this is what she's doing, I really need to do something. I don't even know why it took me so long to figure out that if I actually scheduled a short rehearsal a few times a week, like, you know, the same type of rehearsal, like if I practiced tap twice a week or 3 times a week for a short amount of time, that I would actually be more prepared to do the video assignment by its due date. Wow. What a concept, Frankie. I was literally being a dumbass and made things way too hard on myself. You know the phrase, work smarter, not harder? Yeah. I was doing the opposite of that. So I was working harder, not smarter. So, after taking the master schedule from Gabby, I sort of configured it into my own type of method. On Sunday afternoons, I would create a new weekly spread. Like I said before, I bullet journal, so that's why I say that. But you can totally skip this step and use a regular planner. Two that I actually recommend that I've used before are the Lilly Pulitzer or the Erin Condren brand. Lilly Pulitzer is more on a horizontal type spread, and Erin Condren is a little bit more expensive than Lilly, but they are on a vertical spread. And with Erin Condren, you can actually personalize yours, and they're bounded really well. Both brands are bounded with a spiral, but both of them are really good. It just depends on how much you want to spend and what you're looking for. They were personally my favorite before I started creating my own, but Target also sells really nice cheap ones, so get whatever you want. Who cares? It's yours. Then I would take a purple pen and create the due dates that I knew were solid from my teachers. that gave me a sort of idea what days I would need to rehearse in order to get it together. And I took a green pen and marked dance-specific assignments I needed to do to prepare for the video that I would need to record. Basically, it was the exercises that my professors would send each week that we would need to keep up. And they would also send the combination for that week that we would have to record and ultimately send back to them so they could grade us and give us notes and, you know, critiques and all that jazz. Get it? Jazz? Because dance? I cracked myself up. Then, with a pink pen, one of my personal favorites, I added all of the time-specific video conferences. They included all of my webinars, virtual coachings, class check-ins, and voice lessons. Basically, the things that a performer needs to survive. I knew that if I didn't write them with a bright color, that my eyes wouldn't be immediately drawn to them and I would forget. So that's why I put them in pink, because my eyes are automatically attracted to pink things. And I knew that it was vital for me to be awake, be alert, and be ready for these sort of webinars and coachings and check-ins and whatnot. I used that to get my ass on Zoom, because, you know, Zoom University and Zoom High School, if you all had that. Finally, with a golden pen, I scheduled all of my other rehearsals and written assignments that I needed to work on during the week so that I could meet the due date. I will say, with all this schoolwork in mind, my advice is, do not forget to schedule breaks during the day. Did you hear that from the back? Let me say it again. Do not forget to schedule breaks during the day, please. It is so important to take a break, whether you do a short meditation or just read a short chapter in a book. Another thing, always remember to hydrate. You know, I actually set alarms in my phone that remind me to hydrate throughout the day. If you don't, your body is going to shut down and you're going to feel like trash. That's not what should happen when you're trying to do important work. Your body will love you, but you have to take care of it. My final piece of advice when creating a schedule is to develop a healthy sleeping schedule. I think that 8 hours is the normal amount, but like, don't quote me on that because I'm not a scientist. You can Google it. That's what it's there for. I'm a big supporter of Googling things when you don't know it. If you're like me and you can't fall asleep that easy, you might be an insomniac. Welcome to the club. So basically, with me being an insomniac, I struggled a lot with this part, with making my own sleeping schedule and getting up on time and going to bed at a decent hour. Even when I was in-person classes in the city and I would have to be up at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. for an 8 a.m. or a 9 a.m. class, I started taking sleep vitamins by a brand called Olly. That's spelled O-L-L-Y. So me personally, I use the extra strength ones, which have 5 milligrams of melatonin in it. But they also have a regular one that has a little bit less, just if you're looking for something just to promote a healthy sleep cycle. You literally just pop 2 of them in 30 minutes before you go to sleep, and you'll be out like a freaking light by the end of that 30 minutes. Target sells them. Just go to the pharmacy part of Target and go to the multivitamins, and you'll see Olly has like their own little shelving space. They also carry like other vitamins like stress-free and probiotics. So if you try any of that, let me know. Let me know if it works. School really kicked my ass this semester, and I realized that I'm definitely one of those who constantly has to be doing something, and I forget how to relax most of the time. Okay, yeah, I'm basically a workaholic, but that's besides the point. I mean, at least I admitted it. Admitting it is the first step to recovery. I've always picked work over going out, but I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. I started taking a few days each month to myself, and don't worry, they're sporadically placed so that it cuts me off from work every once in a while, and it allows me to rejuvenate when I'm so stressed out that I feel like pulling my hair out or gouging my eyeballs out with a pencil. When I say I take a day, I really mean that I take a full 24 hours. From the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to sleep at night, it's all about me and whatever I want to do. I highly recommend that you spend this full day alone, because when you start to throw friends in the mix, it can turn into a day about them, and that basically defeats the whole point. This is a day about you, for you. Plan a day with your friends another time. It isn't a bad thing to take one day to yourself. If they are really your friends, they'll understand that you're under a lot of pressure, you're under a lot of stress, and you just need a second. You just need a day. My favorite day, personally, of the week to take to myself is Sunday, just because ever since I was a kid, I've loved Sundays, even though I know the next day is Monday, and Mondays kind of suck, but Sundays have always kind of put me in a good mood. Pick your favorite day of the week, and take that day to yourself, and if you want to base it off the weather, pick your favorite weather. Take that day off. Me personally, I like to take it off whenever it's sunny outside and warm, and you can just walk through the park, or you can take a drive if you're able to drive. And so that's the kind of day that I use for myself because it makes me happy. I mean, sometimes if it's rainy, then I'll eat some ice cream and watch Netflix, but it really just depends on the amount of stress that I'm under. I'm a big fan of pampering myself when I take a day off, so I always, usually, go to the nearest mall and I'll get a pedicure and I'll get my eyebrows threaded and tinted. Don't laugh at me. I do get my eyebrows tinted because I was born with this weird dark auburn brown hair and blonde eyebrows. So yes, I'm a platinum blonde and I dye my eyebrows dark brown. Don't laugh at me. It makes me look like I actually have eyebrows and I don't have to fill them in all the time. So really, I'm paying less money because I don't have to buy makeup and fill in my eyebrows. I can just pay the professionals and then they stay tinted for 6 weeks. So who's laughing now, huh? Probably still you. Whatever. That was a really weird tangent. If I need my roots done, then I'll just schedule an appointment for that day and go get those done. Because nothing feels better for a platinum blonde than having their roots done. I shop at my favorite stores like Lululemon and Adidas and Urban Outfitters and American Eagle. Basically anything expensive. Yeah, my wallet likes to scream at me sometimes, but oh well. I also love walking down Fifth Avenue in New York. New York City people will back me up on this, I swear. Walking down Fifth Avenue, yes, it's probably a traffic mess because tourists also like to walk down Fifth Avenue, but you can walk down it and you literally see all the cute stores and all the stores that you can't really afford, but it just makes you feel good to like window shop. You can't tell me that it doesn't feel good to look at a Tiffany necklace just because you can. Yes, that was definitely a hint, just in case anyone has this burning itch to buy me a gift, please. Most recently, I went to a mall in Cincinnati to shop, but to like also eat at the Cheesecake Factory, because I'm obsessed with Cheesecake Factory, and there isn't really one super close to where I live in the city, because I think the nearest one is either in Jersey or on the outskirts of Queens, and that's just like really long and I never have the time to really go out there. So I like to make the most of it while I'm at home, even though even here it's a 3-hour drive, but it's worth it. Speaking of this restaurant, so the last time I went, my waiter literally hit on me. It was kind of creepy, but I sort of shrugged it off as if he was just being nice. But then he started to get even creepier and I was like, okay. I used to be a waitress, so to me it was just really weird that someone was hitting on me. And it was also kind of strange because I was eating by myself and I think that's why he hit on me. Like if my mom had been with me, he probably wouldn't have done it. Waiters and waitresses, if you're gonna hit on one of your tables, just don't be creepy about it. Oh my god. I'm actually so excited to talk about the original Broadway cast album of the week because it is one of my all-time favorites, and it also makes me super excited because I usually don't know off-the-wall musicals and all my other friends do, and so when I talk about this one, they're like, oh my god, Frankie, what is that? And I'm like, haha, finally, I gotcha. Sorry, I get really excited when I know musicals that other people don't. Besides my friend Calvin, he seems to know every musical known to man, so Next Thing You Know by Joshua Salzman and Ryan Cunningham is a brilliant piece of work. I highly recommend listening to the entire thing, but if you want just a little taste, listen to Hungover. It's about halfway through the show and it'll have you rolling because it's so relatable to life. I've honestly never seen the show live, but I know the album like the back of my hand. And from what I know, it's about these people trying to survive life in New York City while also finding their way through relationships and trying to get their career kickstarted. And I just think it's a fantastic listen, especially for young people and people in their 20s and early 30s. My favorite song is definitely the finale, just because I think it sums up the whole storyline perfectly. But there are so many bops on that soundtrack. You will love it. And you'll probably love me for introducing you to it. So go give it a listen. It's on Spotify, that I know for sure. And it's probably on Apple Music, but just Google it. It'll pop up. It's really good. And you should listen to it. Did you really think I was gonna give all this advice without handing over some tips and tricks to help you improve your own self-care routine? First of all, you have to identify what matters to you. You have to be able to pinpoint what you actually care about and what will make you successful versus what you keep in your life just because you feel like you have to. My advice, if it's a person or a thing, think about the pros and cons. Usually, your initial gut reaction is how you really feel towards that person or thing, even if you don't want to admit it. Here recently, I had to make a choice to keep something in my life that really meant a lot to me, and the choice wasn't made overnight. I actually had spent so much time over quarantine working on myself and figuring out my own self-worth that I came through feeling so good about myself. I was so much more confident than I had been in a long time. However, over the span of a few weeks, I sort of felt myself giving more and more just to kind of ease and preserve the situation I was in. I started to lose motivation. I stopped working out. I stopped wanting to dance. I almost stopped wanting to go back home to the city. I really think that I did most of this subconsciously. It was all in my head, and nothing was ever asked of me. Like, I wasn't asked to stop working out. I wasn't asked to stay home from the city. However, it was up to me to continue to lose myself in my own thoughts or cut the ties to what was bringing me subconsciously down. Humans are allowed to make mistakes, and you're allowed to say that you're working hard to be a better version of yourself. I know I say that all the time, and I hope that I can someday be ready and strong enough to not give myself away, but share myself. I don't know, that's just how I feel about the subject. Going back to some fun tips and tricks, another fun one is to learn how to say no. Learn how to say no. Going out all the time with your friends is great. Trust me, it is. That's how you get a social life. That's how you meet other people. Shit, that's probably how you're gonna meet your boyfriend, girlfriend, or significant other. So, yeah, going out with your friends is awesome. But you have to be able to say no. I spent a lot of my first year of college never saying no, and I was so exhausted all the time that I felt so unhappy being there constantly. I literally hated being there. And I think that being exhausted and never being able to say no because I felt obligated to say yes to my friends. Just say no. It's okay. Take a night off from partying or studying or whatever you do. Another thing you can do is change your mindset to encourage a healthy self-care routine. It does sound easier than it is, but I found that writing down positive affirmations that contradict your own thoughts is so helpful and so... We'll just leave it at helpful. For example, write down a sentence that begins with "I can." Now say it out loud. Say it until you believe it. This almost rewires your brain for you. You know, I actually took an elective at school called Performance Empowerment. It was all about staying positive even when you're knocked down, because let's face it, in this sort of industry, and probably in others, we are constantly knocked down and told no and rejected. If you start to believe that you're not good enough, you're never going to be able to get out of that. And I think that these positive affirmations really help you. They help you rewire what you think about yourself, and they help you take a negative thought and change it into a positive one, something that you can work on. And I know I keep harping on working on yourself, but it's just so important. And I wouldn't be where I am today had I not started to take care of myself and put myself first. Another thing that you can do is look into meditation. It obviously doesn't work for everyone, because if you listen to my last episode, Taylor mentions that it doesn't help her, so she goes on a walk instead. If you were thinking about looking into it, check out an app called Insight Timer. It's basically an app that you download to your phone, and it has thousands of guided and non-guided meditations, and they're categorized by subject matter, like anxiety release, sleep, mornings. You know, I used to use it every morning, like as soon as I woke up, and it made me feel super positive about starting the day. So, like, the early morning ones, or like the morning rise ones, are my favorites, because a soothing voice like that as soon as you wake up is so relaxing. The app keeps track of the days and minutes that you meditate, so you can see how long you've been doing it. Also, here are some 5-minute self-care activities that you can use to take a step back from something that's stressing you out during the day. Like if it's an assignment that you're frustrated with, or something you feel like you just can't get right, take a little break, come back to it. Sometimes you just need a little refresher. Write down 3 nice things about yourself. Compliment yourself. You're still doing good work. You're just having a little bit of trouble with this one thing. It's not the end of the world. Go outside, get some fresh air, get a change of scenery. Stop staring at your computer screen for hours on end. Drink water. I know I keep harping on this, but you have to hydrate your body. Aren't we like 70% water anyway? So like, once again, don't quote me, I'm not a scientist, and that may make me sound really stupid, but our body is made up of a lot of water, so you should drink it. Also, it's really good for your kidneys. You need to flush those out. And my final 5-minute activity tip, have a dance party to a happy song. You can literally get on Spotify. I'm sure Apple Music has it. I don't really know because I don't use Apple Music. I use Spotify, but I know Spotify recommends playlists to me. And there's this most recent one. It's called The Decade for You or something like that. And it has such good bops in it. I like to use that to just kind of like dance out my jitters. Like if I'm nervous for an audition or a coaching, because I have some sort of like stage anxiety and I shake before I perform. So I like to dance all of my little jitters out, and then I'm able to come into the room focused and ready. Some of my favorites are like the older bops from the 2000s, like Jason Derulo, or like one of the old Pink tunes. But sometimes you'll catch me listening to Lizzo, because Truth Hurts is a fucking bop. So those were some 5-minute ones. Here are some ones that will take a little bit longer, but they're not super long. Use a face mask. I personally like the ones from Target, specifically the aloe one that's used for cleansing. But I also use the exfoliating ones with like the pomegranate beads in them. And it just makes your face feel so good and rejuvenated and clean. I'm more of a mud mask type of gal, but peel-offs are good too. I'm just not like a huge fan of them because I think they hurt when you start to take them off, and my hair usually gets in the way. So I'm like, ah! Another one is, go on a little walk through your neighborhood. Or if you don't have a neighborhood, just walk to your mailbox and come back. It helps get you out of the house and get your blood flowing a little bit. Some physical activity. Make a smoothie. You know, I actually use a service called Daily Harvest, and they send all of the ingredients, and all you do is add water or milk of your choice, and you pop them in the blender. For about 6 of them, it's probably gonna run 45 to 50, but it's so worth it. And it comes right to your door frozen. It's all organic. There's no preservatives. And if you don't feel like getting them for a week, you can just go on the app and say, skip a week, and it skips it for you, and it doesn't charge your card. And finally, you could create a journal entry. When I'm feeling sad or moody, I like to write down how I'm feeling and what's going on in my head. Personally, it helps me get whatever emotion I have pent up inside to release, instead of me holding it and then taking it out on another person who doesn't deserve it, because then that just causes a fight, and I'm also really bad at fighting. So those were the 15-minute ones. Now, if you're really in the need of some self-love, take the rest of the day. Who cares? It's just one day. You can get back to whatever you're doing in the morning, but take the rest of the day. I know that whenever I have a bad morning, or if I have a bad coaching session, or if I have a bad lesson, I don't want to do anything for the rest of the day. And obviously, don't make a habit out of this, but it's okay to just take a break and kind of come back to it in the morning. Here are some things that I like to do. Binge watch a good show. I always recommend The Office because it's hilarious. I also know that show forwards and backwards, and I still laugh at it, like, every time. If you have HBO Max, I highly recommend a new show called Love Life, starring Anna Kendrick. It's probably some of the best non-comedic acting I've ever seen her do. I promise you will be hooked after the first episode. Now, they only release an episode once a week, so you might not want to start it if you're one of those people that wants to binge watch every episode. They're about 7 episodes ahead, so you can always start it and see if you like it. It's super good, and it's laid out really well, so check it out. Let me know if you like it. I'd love to talk to you about it, because I'm obsessed. You could unplug from technology. No, seriously, take a break from your phone. A lot of times, technology gives you even more of a headache. I mean, personally, I love unplugging from technology because I can look at something on social media and then feel bad about myself for the rest of the day. And that's not fun. And it's not healthy. So take a break from technology. Fuck technology. And you know what you could do while unplugging from technology? You could read a book. You know, I just started a new book by Sherry Sanders called Rock the Audition. And she basically explains her method of using pop rock songs in auditions. My voice teacher recommended it to me, so I'll get back to you whenever I finish it and tell you what I thought. And finally, watch a fun movie. Anything with Adam Sandler in it makes me laugh. I'm a big fan of Happy Gilmore and also Grown Ups because I think it's fucking hilarious. When I'm upset, a lot of times I'll sit and watch The Benchwarmers. And I know that sounds like really weird. You're like, ooh, Frankie, why would you watch that movie? It is so funny. And if you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. Actually, when I was in high school, I was at a friend's house. Her brother could quote the whole thing. And it was so funny. I laughed until I cried. Oh my gosh. You guys. That's it. That's it for this episode. All right, you lovely humans. I just literally love talking about self-care. It's part of the foundation of someone's happiness. I mean, honestly, if you aren't happy with yourself, how can you really be happy with anyone else? I think you can't, but that's just me. Be sure to follow me on Instagram. My handle is Frankie A. Mars, and that's Frankie with an I-E and Mars, like the planet Mars, but with 2 R's. Just remember to be kind to yourself, stay motivated, you can do this, and don't wait to take care of yourself. Until next week, namaste, motherfuckers.